Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Hello, folks. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. It's David here in the plastic wilderness again. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to share something with you today concerning the Jezebel curse. And, you know, Jezebel is a parable in the Bible. It's used in several different ways. It's obviously used individually, but also of religions and also of nations even. It can be used in an individual way all the way up to a very large corporate way. But Jezebel represents people who have the Jezebel spirit, as I call it. We've dealt a lot with the Jezebel spirit in our ministry, and especially recently, it seems to be one of the most common spirits growing in America, for instance, and even in religion. It's actually taking over churches that don't recognize this spirit because they don't believe the Word of God is still true. They don't believe the dictates of the Word of God is still true. So I want to share a few things with you. I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. And, of course, the Lord is addressing the churches here with this problem. And he says, "But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess." In other words, Jezebel believes that what she speaks is from the Lord, right? "She calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication." Well, obviously, Jezebel here is a spiritual type and a shadow, a parable of not only a section of the church in John's day, but in our day. And committing fornication is not only a physical act, it's a spiritual act. You know, fornication would be having relations with someone who is not your husband, for instance. And of course, we know as the church, we are devoted to just one Lord. And it's his seed that we receive, which is the Word of God. And anything other than that comes from the world. And so in that way, spiritually speaking, Jezebel, who's basically her own head, is committing spiritual fornication. And eating things sacrificed to idols. We know that Israel had a problem when they went into the wilderness, when they seemed to have lost Moses, that they quickly reverted back to idols that they were accustomed to in Egypt, you know, the golden calf. And I think the golden calf represents, you know, prosperity, easy Christianity, religious idols, meaning denominations or sects that are not according to the Word of God. These are idols that they worship, that they support, that they throw their money at, so on and so forth, you know. Jezebel, which is a parable of the harlot in the midst of the church, does both of these things. Okay. And verse 21 says, "And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication." Do you suppose that in our day there's also a group of people that willeth not to repent of this kind of fornication? Yeah, no doubt about it. Everything in the scriptures is a type and a shadow of bigger things that follow. And So, you know, there was a time when Jesus came to a harlot church. And in Matthew 13, he basically said that they would not repent. Let me just read a couple of verses to you there. I'm going to read 14 and 15. It says, "And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears." Of course, he's speaking to the disciples now. But he was speaking to a very large portion of what would have been the Old Testament church here. And they would not repent. They were basically having relations with the world and not with the Lord, who came to check up on his property. And so I think that when he says this to Jezebel, you know, in the Old Testament, he also called Israel a harlot, you know, like in the beginning of Isaiah. And so the church is in the same situation. Much of the church is a harlot because they are having relations with the world and not with the Lord. And he says, "I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornications." I suggest to you that there will come a time when what we just read in Matthew 13 will be fulfilled, this time in the church. And because everything that happens to the Jews happens to the church, 1 Corinthians 10:11 teaches us that. So we're coming to a time, I believe, during the ministry of the man-child, in which there will be a large reprobation of people who have decided that they just are not going to repent of having relations with the world, receiving the seed of the world. And this is what spiritually is happening here. Okay. Well, back in Revelation 2 and verse 22, he says, "Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works." Notice that. "I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery." Adultery. And of course, adultery is when you're having relations with someone who is not your husband. You know, in 1 Kings, we're told, let me read that to you, 1 Kings 18, we see the story of Jezebel and Ahab. And Ahab, who was the king of the northern 10 tribes, basically was the beast with the 10 horns. And he was having relations with Jezebel, just like we see in the book of Revelation, which is an end-time scenario. And I believe this is a type and a shadow of an end-time scenario, but the one in the book of Revelation obviously is speaking of a much larger scenario than what we're reading about here in the letter. Okay. Well, anyway, Jezebel was receiving the seed of Ahab, the beast with the 10 horns. And that represents, in our day, the whole world. The beast with the 10 horns represents the whole world, the 10 continental divisions of the world, which is what the world is going to be broken up into in the beast kingdom. And there are people spread throughout the world who have more affinity for the particular nation that they live in than they do for the Bible, Christianity, being a disciple of Christ, so on and so forth. So what are they doing? Well, they're dragging the world, its principles, its ideas, into the church. They're receiving the seed of the beast, so to speak. This is coming into the church. This has polluted the church. And you can see it in Jezebel, what it speaks of Jezebel down in verse 19. It says, Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the Asherah 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. Well, we see that obviously for Jezebel to have a hard heart, receive the doctrine of the world, she has to have a complete system of false prophets to feed her. And this is what we call adultery, spiritual adultery. And, of course, Elijah had come to draw a line in the sand and to see who in the world would step over it. But back in Revelation 2, he said that he would cast her into great tribulation. Great tribulation, unless she repents. I have a suspicion that great tribulation here may be speaking of the second 3.5 years. It's quite obvious in maybe Matthew 24 that the great tribulation is the second 3.5 years. So I think that that's what it's talking about here. It may also be a line in the sand for the people who do not repent, who willeth not to repent of their fornications, as far as reprobation is concerned. You know, the Lord was being very patient during the 3.5 years of his ministry as the man-child of his day to try to get the word out. But it seems like, you know, he was coming to the point where he was saying that these people are not going to repent. They don't have eyes to see and don't have ears to hear. And I believe that there may be a deadline for these people to come into the kingdom. And the Great Tribulation may be, the beginning of the Great Tribulation may be that deadline. Except that we know that after Jesus' ministry, that there was a great reprobation and that God was bringing a remnant out through his disciples, and that most of the leadership and most of the people that followed them were not coming out, but were instead persecuting the saints. And there, you know, is where the reprobation came in. And he goes on to say in verse 23, he said, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works, and I will kill her children with death." Well, I'd like to say that Jezebel being both an individual type and a corporate type, it's very important that people nowadays who have the Jezebel spirit, which we need to identify for you, but we have identified it partially, we need to say that these people are coming to a time when their children will be killed. I'm talking about the seed of Jezebel. You know, women individually who have the Jezebel spirit, or men, because it can be either way, they're passing this on to their spiritual children, and they don't know any better either, or their physical children, and they don't know any better either. And where we're going, God is very much opposed to that spirit. I would say, besides the spirit of greed and you know, other things, Jezebel is one of the most common spirits that's bringing destruction to the church. We, for instance, minister to a lot of people in our area that have received that spirit through the false revival movement. It is common, kind of like the Kundalini yoga Eastern spirits that are being passed around with all the manifestations, false, unbiblical manifestations. One of the common spirits that goes with that is the Jezebel spirit. It's, for a person who is familiar with the scripture, the Jezebel spirit is pretty easy to pick out. You know, but if you put more weight upon society nowadays than you do upon the scriptures, you see nothing wrong with the Jezebel spirit. But God really hates it. Matter of fact, as we read on, you'll see that he really hates this spirit. Okay. And matter of fact, he says here that he's going to cast her and her children. Now that could be an individual and they're spiritual or physical children, but it also could be a denomination or a church or a nation. Okay, we do know that nations are cast into great tribulation. Matter of fact, I'll just read a little bit of that. Revelation 18. Many of you have identified Revelation 18 as America. But let me read to you a little piece of this. Verse 4, he says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her the double according to her works. In the cup which she mingled, mingle unto her double. How much soever she glorified herself." This is obviously part of the Jezebel spirit, is glorifying self, right? "And waxed wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and shall in no wise see mourning. Therefore in one day shall her plagues come, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judged her." Now, we usually pick this out to identify a nation, and I'm not going to get into the prophetic part of it right here, but it could also be a religion. But at any rate, God hates the Jezebel spirit. He hates the harlot who's having relations with the world. He tells his people to come out of her, and I believe that we're coming to a time when, if they don't, there will be a reprobation, exactly as happened to the Jews who were in that situation. History just keeps repeating. It just repeats with larger and larger groups of people. So, and also, by the way, we could go and read a very similar text over here in Isaiah 47. And verse 5, it says, "Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans," or Babylon, right? "For thou shalt no more be called the mistress of kingdoms." The mistress of kingdoms that's received the seed of the whole world, as a matter of fact, is America. There's no doubt in my mind about it. He said, "I was wroth with my people. I profaned mine inheritance and gave them into thy hand, and thou didst show them no mercy." Some of you don't believe that America is going to persecute the saints, but you won't have long to wait and see. Okay, you're going to know it very, very soon. In fact, the laws are changing very fast. The attitude of the people towards Christianity is changing very fast. "I gave them into thy hand, and thou didst show them no mercy. And upon the aged hast thou verily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be mistress forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end thereof. Now therefore hear this, thou that art given to pleasures, that sittest securely, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and there is none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. In their full measure shall they come upon thee, and in the multitude of thy sorceries," or witchcrafts, "and the great abundance of thine enchantments." So that's a very similar text, and points out a few more things. But we see a national Jezebel there, you know. Basically, the thing about Jezebel was she didn't know who her head was. She took the headship, she took the leadership when that part wasn't hers to take, okay? And let's go back and read a little bit more here in Revelation chapter 2. He says, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. But to you I say, to the rest, that in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. This teaching of what? The teaching of Jezebel. It's common. That's a common teaching in the churches. It's a common teaching in America and in much of the world, I would say. It's a common teaching. What is she teaching? Besides what we just pointed out, fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Eating things sacrificed to idols is a word or a teaching or a doctrine that may appease a particular denomination, but it's not the Word of God. It's a seed that comes from the beast. It doesn't come from Christ. Remember, there's only Christ and Antichrist. You're either a part of the member of the body of Christ or a part of the member of the body of Antichrist. And so he tells you, the people that don't have this teaching, or the deep things of Satan, God calls it. And so God is really hates this teaching. So I'd like to look into a little bit more of it. But he said that those that did this, her and her children, he would kill with death. Wow. Well, look at 1 Kings 21. And I want to read to you verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, of course he's talking about the seed through Jezebel, right? He that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. Well, notice that that which is born of Ahab through Jezebel, God doesn't want. Wrong seed, and he doesn't want that. Obviously, Jezebel was called Jezebel because she was only to receive the seed of the Lord. But many people think, because we live in a modern day, we should accept modern thinking and modern teachings and not hold fast to the word which was given to us from the beginning. But if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son. There's no safe place except for abiding in him through believing the word that was given unto us. But Jezebel doesn't do that. She's got her own ideas, and you can quote scriptures till you're blue in the face and you won't change your mind. That's been my experience. Whether we're talking about an individual or whether we're talking about an apostate church, religion, whatever, It's very hard to change Jezebel's mind. She's made up her mind because she has an ambition of her own. Just like the Jezebel in 1 Kings and so on, She had a mind of her own, and God decided he was going to wipe her out. And she gave her time to repent. She wouldn't repent. She was receiving the seed of Ahab, and that which was born of that union, which is obviously the churches are putting these people out right now, that which is born of that union, God doesn't want. He's not interested. He's going to bring a death to this. He's giving time to repent. And even the birds of the heaven, if you read Revelation 19 and 17, you see that God has got a great destruction for Ahab, or the beast, the ten-horned beast, representing the peoples of the world who are unregenerate. He has a great destruction and a feast for the birds of the heaven, he said. And so there needs to be repentance quickly of this spirit. It's not hard to identify Jezebel's spirit. Jezebel ruled over Ahab. And it says here in verse 25, he says, but there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites did, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So Jezebel was basically ruling over her husband. You know, our corporately speaking, the church needs to submit to Christ in everything. Everything. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Individually, of course, we've got the same situation, folks. The Lord doesn't permit, even from the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, you know, one of the problems that began the problems that we have now. In verse 17, it says, And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You know, Adam was to follow the voice of the Lord. He was given a wife as a companion and a helpmeet, but he was to follow the voice of the Lord. Was seduced into following his wife, who had taken the lead because she had listened to Satan. And from that point on, God never permits, you know, the woman to be the head of the household. Sorry, some of you may disagree with that, but there's nothing I can do about that. The truth is, the Word of God is very plain. The Jezebel spirit is just that. It's always that. Jezebel ruled over Ahab. Matter of fact, back in the chapter we were in, it was very plain that what Ahab wanted in chapter 21, in one instance, was he wanted Naboth's vineyard so that he could plant herbs in it. Well, a vineyard obviously is a place of bearing fruit, and it was the land that he had been passed on down from his forefathers. And he refused to give up the land to the beast to plant his weeds in, right? He already had fruit there, but he would have had to give it up to Ahab to plant his weeds in. This is happening all the time, folks. We're being tempted of the world to take on what they think is fruit, you know. But we've got fruit that's been passed on from our forefathers that we cannot give up. Well, guess what Jezebel is doing? You know, in the text, we find Naboth, the Jezreelite. That means, by the way, Naboth means fruits. Jezreelite means that God hath sown. The fruits that God hath sown. In what? In his vineyard. Jezebel wanted to give that vineyard to the beast, Ahab. And so when he refused to give up the inheritance of his forefathers, well, this is the inheritance of our forefathers here, folks, the Word of God, right? When he refused to give it up, Jezebel said, I'll get it for you. And so basically she had two base fellows. Same kind of thing happened to Jesus, right? Jezebel did the same thing to Jesus, right? Base fellows who were liars, who gave false witness against him, and did the same thing here with Naboth in verse 10, 21 and 10. And basically they took Naboth out and stoned him to death and gave his vineyard over to the beast. Well, she led the beast kingdom wrong, you know, and the world is seeing what they think is Christianity in an apostate church, and really what they're seeing is Jezebel. Jezebel wants to make herself pretty for the world, and so she's really fallen into a spiritual adultery with the world, an apostasy with the world, and this is why God wants nothing to do with her. He demands repentance. The same thing is true of an individual woman or man. Yes, I've known of men who had the Jezebel spirit. It was obvious. We had a preacher that we knew that was raised by women preachers and was ordained by women preachers, and he would twist the scriptures any way he could to make a woman an elder, but you can't do it in the New Testament. It's just not there. Jesus ordained them. The apostles ordained them. They never ordained a woman because it's not permitted. The Lord says, I permit not the woman to teach or take authority over the man. This is not popular in our society nowadays, and it's very persecuted. We've been very persecuted for saying it. But it's the Word of God. Let me just read to you, for instance, what Ephesians says. I'm not going to go very far in this direction, but just want to make a few words known here. 5:22, wives, be in subjection unto your husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. That's pretty specific and pretty narrow-minded of God, wouldn't you say? As unto the Lord. Obey your husbands as the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. God's not going to change his mind. This is what he demands, and anything else is an abomination in his sight. If the Jezebels don't repent, they will be in the same shape as they were in Jesus' time. These are the days when God is dealing with this situation. I'm not talking about just individual Jezebels, but also corporate body, churches, religions, whatever, Christian religions, whatever. So he says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Can't get very far from that, right, folks? Being himself the savior of the body. If a woman doesn't want to be saved, she don't have to submit to her husband. But Jezebels are not going to be saved, folks. And God is going to deal with them. Matter of fact, we know of quite a few people that have been raised up in this false revival movement who have not repented and died early. And with that spirit, God is being very hard on that spirit. He doesn't want it sown in his body, the church. He's being very jealous for his bride. He doesn't want her polluted with that evil. And verse 24 says, but as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything. In everything. As the church is subject to Christ. We should say, as the church should be subject to Christ. I would say nowadays, obviously, because this doesn't make sense to a lot of people. The church isn't very subject to Christ. But as the church should be subject to Christ, so should the wives be to their husbands in everything. In everything. And I know, I understand that that's not happening. I mean, sometimes the Jezebel spirits will pull verses out of context and totally destroy everything the Scripture commands. You know, I mean, here's a common one, Galatians 3. It says in verse 28, there can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. It's true that we are one in Christ Jesus. No matter what sex, no matter what gift, no matter what office, we're all one body, okay, in Christ Jesus. That has nothing to do with the difference between male and female and the rules that's laid down in the New Testament. The fact that we're one in Christ Jesus, one body, when you go to 1 Corinthians 13, it's very plain that the body is many members and that all of these members don't work the same way. I mean, obviously, the offices are different. The gifts are different. Okay? And, of course, we know male and female are different. And the one who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, he laid down rules for how members of the body are supposed to act. Now, he didn't say they weren't one. He said specifically there that they were one. But he still laid down rules about how different members of the body were to function. Okay? So some people take this to say, okay, there's no more male and female, so we just throw out all the verses that teach about how God designed males to work and females to work. That's ridiculous. That is even ludicrous, you know, and some people yet justify it. Well, there's no justification. Jesus gave us an example. He ordained elders who were men. He commanded in Timothy to only ordain men as elders. There's not an example in the New Testament where he ordained anybody that wasn't a man as an elder. And so we have the foundation laid in the Scriptures. And the Bible says, learn not to depart from that which is written, right? And so In 1 Corinthians 11, it says the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And God is not going to depart from that. What does depart from that nowadays is the Jezebel spirit. That's what departs from that nowadays. And so it's very common. I've known people whose lives have been destroyed by this, and their children's lives have been destroyed by this. I knew a woman years ago who used to come to our meetings, and she was full of this Jezebel spirit. And God kept correcting her about it in her dreams. She had lots of dreams, dream after dream after dream, and she would bring them to me, and even though she had red hair, in her dreams she had black hair. And I would interpret her dreams for her. You know, the Bible says that our hair is given her for a covering, and it's a sign of submission in 1 Corinthians 11. And I would say that, I would tell her, I says, that is saying that you're being submitted unto darkness. You know, the sign of submission, your hair. You're being submitted unto darkness, or else she'd be following this cat, you know. And a cat would, of course, represents anything but submission. Cats are self-willed. You can hardly even train them to do anything. They're so self-willed, you know. Not like dogs, you know. But, of course, you can train them sometimes and somewhat, but they're still self-willed and everybody knows it, you know. And so she'd have dream after dream about her rebellion, her self-will, her domineering over her husband. I loved her husband. I loved her, you know, very much. But he was not following the Lord. He was following her and all of her dictates. He couldn't follow the Lord. Couldn't even hear the voice of the Lord because he was too busy trying to please his wife. 1 Corinthians 7 warns the husband and wife not to get in this situation. And he said that the days would come when the husband would be as though they had not a wife. What would that mean? It would mean that they could only follow the voice of the Lord. He said, if you're married, you have to, in some ways, please your wife. But if you're not married, then you're free to follow the Lord completely and perfectly. Well, Paul was suggesting that if you didn't have to be married, then don't be married. Then you could follow the Lord totally and perfectly. And, of course, I agree with everything Paul said, everything. But everybody doesn't have that gift. But he said in 1 Corinthians 7, that the men should be as though they had not a wife. Now, how could that be? I mean, he was talking about in the way that you were able to give attention totally to the Lord as your leader. Now, the wife can make it very possible for the husband to hear the voice of the Lord, or she can make it impossible for a husband to hear the voice of the Lord because she has her own demands, and lots of them, you see. And that was this situation, you know. She was demanding. And finally, it came a time when, you know, I had been interpreting her dreams all along, and she finally got tired of hearing rebuke from the Lord because the dreams were rebuking her. And it wasn't my fault. I think anybody else would have interpreted the dreams the same way as I did, you know. It wasn't my fault. But she didn't want to repent of this, and we corrected her a few times very graciously. We're not very hard on people here, but we corrected her very graciously, and she just went in one ear and out the other one. She refused to repent because of this Jezebel spirit. God chastened her very hard a few times, very hard. She got in wrecks. She got sick for months on end, you know, and her husband did too because he was basically not following the Lord. The Bible says the head of the man is Christ, not Jezebel. See? And in his case, it was Jezebel. In other words, the Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He wasn't being led by the Lord. You can be led by your wife, husband, or you can be led by the Lord. If you're not led by the Lord, your whole family's not going to be led by the Lord because this is the chain of command here. And he's not going to depart from it. You know, 1 Corinthians 11, the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man. That's the chain of command. If you get out of order, you're out of order with the Lord. That's a Jezebel spirit that is ruling that family. You know, Jezebel spirits can rule nations, but they don't generally do that until they're ruling families and churches. The Jezebel spirit is bringing a curse. It's bringing a curse of death upon the people that follow it. But it takes families to vote people into office who run nations. And the nations are going astray in the same way. This evil spirit is taking over the nations, just like Ahab, just like the harlot rides in upon the back of the beast in Revelation 17. What do you think that means? Yes, Jezebel has taken over the nations of the world. Is it happening? It's happening first in the families. It's happening secondarily in the churches. I mean, first of all, they wouldn't permit this in churches unless they were permitting it in families. Where is this coming from? It's coming from the world. The seed of the beast is coming into the church. If we look in the scriptures, we see that's impossible. We can't do that. That's the seed of the Lord. But they justify it, and in many cases, just like the Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, they can't hear, they can't see anything different because this is their ambition. They have a selfish ambition to rule. Some men have the same spirit in them, as I've pointed out. So we're not just picking on the ladies here, you know. But we need to see that we need to fight this demon that is basically taking over the world. And when she does, she'll be just like the Jezebel in the Bible. Do you know what Jezebel in the Bible did? She used her false prophets. She used her leadership over the beast kingdom to persecute the saints and put to death the saints. Is it going to happen again? Yes. That spirit is taking over families, churches, religions, nations for the purpose of persecuting the saints. She doesn't like anybody coming against her position of authority, and she's not going to permit it if she can help it, right? Well, we see again that the dogs in this text will eat Jezebel, and we know in the book of Revelation that it is the beast that devours the harlot, finally has enough of her, turns and devours the harlot. And I will say that there's a couple of revelations there. Number one is the world's going to get tired of America, who is full of a Jezebel spirit, and sooner or later will be ruled by a woman, something that was never thought of years ago, will be ruled by a woman. And the world will get tired of America ruling over them, and they will throw the harlot down and burn her with fire. That's coming, folks. So God is going to judge the great harlot. But anyway, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 9. Very interesting. What is God going to do about the Jezebel spirit? You know, we've got an article on our site. It's called The Word, Women, and Authority. And many a righteous sister has gone there and read that and repented and really cast down the spirit of Jezebel from her life, from her family, repented, got in correct order with the Lord. And in that way, the sword of the word has really put to death the Jezebel spirit. Well, chapter 9 is God's plan to get rid of the Jezebel spirit. And let me read from verse 1. It says, "And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets, and he said unto him, Gird up thy loins, take this vial of oil in thy hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in, and make him arise from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the vial of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door, and flee, and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead, and when he came, behold, the captain of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand unto thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of us all? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord. Now, I believe that Jehu here represents the man-child ministry. Do you know what Jesus did? He had a ministry of destroying the Jezebel spirit. That's what he did. He raised up the men into their position of authority. He made war against the Jezebel spirit every day. And he represented the man-child. I'm convinced that Jehu here also represents the man-child, and their ministry is to destroy not only the beast, but the Jezebel spirit. Matter of fact, let's read it. Verse 7. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. You remember in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, that it speaks about the harlot being guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets and of all that have been slain upon the earth. And of course, the harlot there is the corporate body of the harlot. And the individual members, of course, are the different sects of Christianity. That I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off, obviously, Ahab, again, representing the beast, is talking about all lost mankind, the beast of all lost mankind. And as you know, there are some among us who seek to appease and have favor with lost mankind. We're not here to please men. We're here to please the Lord. And some people have to bend to the world's rules in order to appease them, in order to have their favor, in order to be liked by lost men. We're not called to be liked by men. We're called to share with them the good news that saves them. Jezebel can't do that anymore. Jezebel is too much attempting to be pleasing unto man's world to bring them the good news and the hard facts, right? And God is raising up a Jehu here to destroy both the beast kingdom and the Jezebel spirit and the Jezebel church. And by the way, in our families there needs to be a Jehu. The Jezebel spirit needs to be cast down. In fact, we're going to read that in just a minute here. Verse 8 says, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every man-child, him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. Of course, in one parable here, we're seeing that what he's talking about is the seed of Ahab through Jezebel. You know, there are many people in the church, in the Jezebel church, that don't realize they're not born from above. They're born from beneath. Jesus said that to the Jezebel church in his day. You're from beneath. I'm from above. How do we come from above? We have to receive only the seed that comes out of heaven. If you receive the seed of the world, you're from beneath. The Bible says in John chapter 3, Jesus said, except you be born, literally it says, from above. That means the word that came down out of heaven needs to be sown in your heart to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? And if you're receiving the seed of the world through an apostate church who wants to appease the world and be liked by the world and be like the world, then that's a Jezebel spirit that they're sowing in your heart, and it's something that's an abomination in the sight of the Lord, okay? We're called to be peculiar people, right? That's what the Bible says. Well, there won't be any man-child that comes from the Ahab Jezebel spirit. That's what he said here. He says, he's going to cut off from Ahab every man-child, and him that is shut up, and him that is left at large in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled, prophesied to Jehu and fled. And God, of course, raised up Jehu to do just exactly that. And by the sword, he put to death the Ahabs and those that were born of Ahab through Jezebel. You know, this is not a violent thing. You know, a person who preaches the true word of God, they're actually putting to death. When they see apostates, their words are like a two-edged sword. They put to death the Jezebel spirit. I mean, many people nowadays are coming out of the apostasy of Jezebel churches because the word of God is changing them. They're being born from above. In other words, that sword is putting to death that Jezebel. And by the way, her children. You know, there is a way in which Jezebel's children will be put to death in the days to come. I'm not saying that they won't physically die. People who are born of the worldly spirit through a Jezebel church, they're not going to live through the tribulation period. They're going to be, in fact, if they don't repent, they'll go into the great and terrible day of the Lord, and the dogs will eat them. I mean, the dog represents the beast, right? The beast devoured the harlot in the book of Revelation, so we know it's going to come in a corporate way. These types and shadows will all be fulfilled, right? So anybody that is mixed up in the Jezebel spirit, they will not be in the man-child we see here. That will not be a one. And because let me tell you what the man-child ministry is going to look like, and the two witness ministry is going to look like, and the fivefold ministry is going to look like. It's going to look like Jesus. And you know what? They're going to have the same doctrine as Jesus, the same thinking as Jesus. And just as Jesus ordained elders, he didn't ordain women, he ordained elders. He ordained men to take their rightful position. This doesn't make the men any better than the women, just they have a different office. That's all. You know, it doesn't make it better. And this is not something men can demand. Men have to love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's not something you can physically demand. You know, you have to earn it. And at any rate, God is raising up a Jehu to come against and to destroy the Jezebel ministry. And let's see. Let's look at verse 30 here. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, which is, of course, the place where God has sown, right? When he came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her eyes and attired her head and looked out at the window. You know, the thing about the Jezebel spirit is they want the favor of the world. They want to be liked of the world. But those who love the Lord, they don't care about that. They want to help the world, but they're not going to favor the world. And Jehu entered in at the gate, and she said, "Is it peace, thou Zimri, thy master's murderer?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs. Now, that's the thing about a eunuch. People chose eunuchs because they didn't have any aspirations or ambitions towards the women, right? And, you know, Jezebel being an apostate spirit, there are people who will be allied with the Jehus of our day in that they've got no ambition for Jezebel whatsoever, you know, and they will cast her down. And by the way, any of you out there that are a eunuch, meaning, of course, you don't sow your own seed. That's what a eunuch was. He had no ability to sow his own seed. These are the people that will cast down the Jezebel spirits. Praise be to God. And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. And he said, see now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. Pay attention to that, folks. Some of these people were actually what we loosely call Christians, the king's daughter, right? But they've got time to repent, and the time is now. Verse 35. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And, of course, you know, in the valley of Jezreel, of course, this is also going to happen in a corporate way, you see. And the body of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field. Oh, praise God. Repent if you have this spirit. I know we've run out of time, but the Lord bless you and we love you in Jesus' name.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust.